Is this Tim?
Hey.
Tim, this is Joe Hunter. How are you?
Hey, Joe. How are you, sir?
I'm really good. You must be from down south. They call me sir.
No,
I appreciate
it's,
that.
It's really, it's just like false respect. I guess it's like we're supposed to call everybody sir.
I love it. Thank you.
And listen, women.
My listen, how is your wife?
My wife is rocking, man.
Is she?
She rocks my world. She got done with chemo about 3 months ago, and I mean, her hair's growing back, and she's just, you know, she's full force, man. She's unbelievable.
Tom and I were getting ready, you know, because you were going to call, and it was your brother Todd, and he was breaking the news to us, and we were like, wow, that was quite a thing. And I imagine it was for you, too. So that's good.
Yeah.
I'm glad we're on
it's
the
an
other
interesting
side.
Year.
An interesting year. When somebody you know, says it's been an interesting year, there's a lot of humanity in that, I guess.
Yeah. But so where you guys are in Kentucky?
We are in New York, upstate New York.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I saw you said down south. I'm saying, what are you talking about? I was calling Kentucky. I was like, what are you talking about? I feel southern. I'm like, New York, okay. Well, hey, how you doing? Down south, I'm from Jersey, whatever. Get out of here.
The reason we called you the last time, which is, gosh, I guess it was May of last year. I don't know. But because you were at a church up here, and it ended up selling out. It was a big, huge thing, you know, and it was a great time.
Yeah.
And it was funny because I asked the pastor, you were coming in on a Friday, and I said, well, gee, is he going to stick around for Sunday, you know? And he said, no, Tim usually skips town before Sunday morning.
Right, I don't go to church. I don't, you know, I perform there, but I don't go. I, you know,
well, we
have things to do.
We love you mainly because in your humor, you expose, and you know this, and you've been working hard on this. You know, you expose things about churchisms and the way we get into ruts of acting, and I can't say it very well. I don't know how to express it that well, but you really do, and we laugh. But inside, we're thinking, wow, you know, that's me.
Well, anything that is not, how I'm saying, anything that's man-made religious stuff is, to me, fair game. It's,
fair
game. You know, and it's not, you know, I'm not trying to, I don't want to try to hurt people's feelings. I really am not, but I am, you know. A lot of the stuff I see is just pretty ridiculous and stuff we need to laugh at ourselves about. So, well, when my brother and I started out, I mean, you know, I think a lot of people think that, you know, have preconceptions about the kind of comedy that I do or the kind of person I am. And, you know, to be really honest with you, my goal is to be the funniest person I could possibly be. And in doing that, because I, you know, every time I try to take the reins of ministry, I fall flat. So, I mean, I think God wants me to be as funny as possible, and He uses it to minister to people, and of that I am totally convinced. I mean, the emails that we get, the people they call that are responding to what I'm trying to do, is something I had no part in, really. I feel that's God's deal, and he's doing some wonderful things.
It's kind of a new thing among Christians. It's like you know, humor is like mainstream Christian now with, you know, the last few years, which it should have been a long time ago, I guess. But, you know, Christians are like, hey, it's okay to laugh. It's cool.
Yeah, it is, you know, and I think it's kind of coming full circle, too. I think people love to laugh, but it got to the point a lot of the, you know, mainstream comedy, and that's pretty much, it's kind of still there, but it's just how much dirtier can you get? It's not shocking anymore. It's like, okay, it's been done, and, you know, it would be really shocking to hear somebody do a clean 30-minute set, and that was very, very funny. That's what I'm trying to do.
Tim, you said clean comedy is easy. Funny comedy is hard. Being funny is hard.
Yeah, that's right. It's clean comedy, but it wasn't very funny. You know?
Right.
It's kind of cheesy. And, you know, I mean, I think I just try to plug in. I really try to, you know, link into reality of life. You know, and the stuff that actually happens. I used to try to make stuff up that I thought was funny. But now I just write down notes. I just write down what happens. I mean, my daughter, she wanted to get a dog not too long ago, and she's like, she wanted a dachshund. I'm like, no, daddy's not getting a dog in his house, you know. There's just no way. And she's 9. She said, no, and she's begging and begging. She's getting mad, and I was getting, you know, I was like, no. And she said, and I finally said, you know, honey, dachshunds are terrible with children. She goes, daddy, you're terrible with children. Said, you've got a point there. Time, and that was before I knew Jesus. And so I just have a pencil close by.
I don't
and
know.
Live my life and make notes, you know.
I don't know if I'd want to be one of your children.
Oh, yeah, I'm really kind of boring. I just observe mostly. My kids, they look at me and just kind of roll their eyes and whatever.
very curious is when you get on a plane, as you do a lot, I imagine, and you know, and if you sit beside somebody, do they say, well, what do you do? What do you say to them?
If I want to talk or not. Oh, I'm in sales. I'll go back to sleep. You know, it's like sometimes I couldn't believe I was a comedian full time. Seriously. So I would just say something else. You know, now I just say, you know, I'm a comedian. Oh! And everybody just, you know, brightens up, and everybody's either got a joke that they want to tell or they about comedy. And so I listen. But for the most part, people are, you know, really, really responsive because they don't, you know, I don't think there's too many of us out there.
They always want you to do something funny, act funny, and like you said,
oh yeah, it's like, you're a comedian, dude, tell me a joke, do something funny. You know, no other profession has to deal with that. You know, you're a doctor, take out my spleen, it's been bugging me. You know?
Funny people do that to me for some reason, and they go like, well, talk like you're on the radio right now, you know, or something. Say something you'd say on the radio, and that, you know, I mean, it's okay, I guess it's hard.
And what other job? I mean, I do it, and I get to sign autographs after it. I mean, what really? I shouldn't whine about it. It's kind of. Oh. You know, it's wonderful. I really enjoy it, and it's like my hobby, so I get to do it, you know, as a job. So, you know, and my shifts are usually like only an hour a night. That's a pretty sweet deal.
No, it can't be that easy.
Clock in, clock out. You're right. I think that I tell anybody, you know, you just got to find something you love to do, and just keep doing it, no matter if you can do it full time or not. Then with it and keep just trying, you know, if you're a comedian and you still have to work a 9-to-5 job, it's just take whatever you can get. And even if you only have a couple gigs a year, who cares? I mean, just do something. I mean, whatever it takes. I've been there, man. I mean, I've performed at the youth lock-ins at churches, and, you know, I mean, I'm opening for laser tag. That's never a good, never a good scenario. I was doing a show. It was a tough crowd. I mean, I was doing a show one night for this youth group, and 5 minutes of my act, I heard someone yell, "Give us Barabbas!"
Oh, my goodness.
And so I knew it wasn't going to be a good night. But, you know, hey, but seriously, I knew I wanted to do it. It's like, because every other job, if I ever failed, I'd just quit. But I knew in comedy, when I would bomb, I still wanted to do it again. I knew, so that was kind of where I knew this is what I need to be doing.
Well, you worked a lot, Tim. I mean, I don't know what you did. I mean, you know, but where you were doing this part-time. No, I mean, you do probably whatever you could do, right, while you're doing this.
Oh, dude, I did, you know, I delivered groceries. I threw papers. I rented cars. I was a substitute teacher. That was interesting. Boy, you can really pull down some jack there. $50 a day, baby. Come on. It's awesome. You know, hey, whatever it takes. I mean, I work nights. I was a so-called customer, you know, customer technical support for a computer thing, and I didn't know anything about computers. But
oh, you must
reboot. Call somebody. Seriously.
I was talking to a guy one time, Tim, that had he was a Christian comedian now, you know, but he was a comedian originally, and I said, well, what is it about so many guys? I see these guys on the Comedy Channel, and they got some really neat ideas, some great takes on things that are really funny, like you do. But then, you know, a certain point in the show there, they kind of get into things, you're like, ooh, you know, or they say something all of a sudden, and you're like, ooh, boy, you know. Yeah. And he said, well, what happens is, like, just like you said, you're doing some stuff, and you realize you're not all that funny, you're not getting that great a laugh, so you pull something out, and then they laugh. So now it's like that equals the paycheck. So then you keep doing whatever you have to do. So you lean on that to get a laugh.
Yeah. Well, that's the language. I think that's the language of the club, of the comedy club. That's just it. I mean, there's a certain, I think I've been in clubs where there's a certain expectation of the material. I mean, it's okay, this is nice, but they're almost like trained to hear the dirty or trained to hear the risque and the sexual stuff. Really, and sometimes I've gone into clubs, I'm like, do you guys understand what I'm trying to say here?
Right.
It's like, but I think that the advantage I've had, like, I've really learned a lot in the churches, you know, because when you perform in church environments a lot, your material, you cater your material towards the audience you're going to be in front of, and my style, it's like I said, it's a clean style, and I can take it anywhere. I mean, I can go to a corporate audience, I can go to a club audience or a church, and do this pretty much the same act, you know? But I think to survive, there's the survival aspect, and like you're talking about, you see guys doing that. It's just, they're just trying to, hey, when it comes down, they just need to get a response. They need to get a laugh.
Right.
and they're going to do it anyway. They have to do it, well, whether they have the material or not.
You go to clubs. How do you do in those clubs?
I do okay. I do. It's I performed at the Tempe Improv in Arizona. Uh-huh. It's probably the best improv in the country. And I did a weekend of six shows, and it rocked. And I think, you know what, and a lot of times I do those kinds of venues, I think people, there's like a subtle appreciation that this guy's clean, mm-hmm. and we're really enjoying it. It's not, it's actually, this is funny stuff. And I think there's more of an appreciation for that. It's different. And I think, like we said before, it's edgy, man. It's just not dirty. It's something that's an alternative.
I was thinking, Tim, nowadays, you know, if you did your little, I love it when you play the guitar and sing, but you're doing your little, you know, you used to be a worship leader at some other churches there before I became a Christian, and I'm thinking, man, in clubs nowadays, that may be the most offensive thing to them.
Oh, you know, you're exactly right. Yeah, Jesus is still offensive, man. That's what I love about him. I should bring his name up, and people have to make a decision, you know. You know? What? And it's true. It's the most offensive thing is religion.
Comedian.
Or anything like that.
Comedian thrown out the back door of the club on his head. You know, why? He mentioned Jesus.
Yeah, my mama's here tonight. How dare you? You just watch your mouth, boy. Watch your mouth.
What is the question that you wish people would stop asking you?
Oh, everyone you guys have asked me.
Thank you.
Now. The question, man, probably, yeah. Do you have a joke or something funny, you know, something like that? Well, people ask me about where I get my material. I mean, that's really I understand. I mean, because but it's really a simple answer. Like I told you, I just live my life and just keep a pencil handy.
I'm telling you, yeah. People who make observations, I think that is the greatest thing. And then to realize mm-hmm. how really funny it is and to kind of expose it, like you said, made things that we hang on to, you know, that we think
like this,
are great.
This whole, like what, you know, people ask me, what makes you mad? And I'm like, recently, have you seen the Burger King commercial where they took away the Whoppers?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They took away the Whoppers.
Yep, yep.
And just see people go ballistic.
Do you think they really did
it's
that?
It's a Whopper.
Yeah.
It's not an Amber Alert. It's a hamburger, you know.
Right.
If you are going ballistic because of that,
right.
You are failing in life. You need to get it together, bro. Right. You know, it's like you just find like what you're passionate about. That's kind of what I try. I have my radar up for. What am I confused about? What am I angry about? What do I really like? And you know.
Yeah. Well, are you taking care of Todd?
I am. My manager? Yeah.
Your manager.
Oh. Yeah. Have you talked to him? Have you gone?
Oh yeah, that's all I've talked to. I mean, we just talked to Todd and
oh yeah, he's a stud. He's my work. He's a bulldog.
Is he sitting right beside you?
Yeah, right. That's, you know, that's another thing. I mean, he just knows that I have no business bone in my body. And he knows how to make calls. I, like I said, I'm no salesman. And but he takes care. He takes care of me, and he does a good job. And I pay him well.
Well, good. I thought he did too. What, did he just get hit in the back of the head or something?
That's right.
I thought he. Oh yeah, he did great following up and stuff. And I thought that may be unique. I mean, you know, have your brother. I don't know.
Well, I'm very, very thankful. I mean, a lot of guys just have to be with booking agents that, you know, they'll just farm me out like, you know, like you're just a commodity. They just want to make money. But
we
work together well. And I mean, he's got five boys of his own. I mean, he's
wow.
When he's not busy with me, he's busy enough.
I mean, would imagine
coaching or doing something. Of course, we all homeschool, and you know, that's an interesting experience.
So the homeschool clip was real.
That's right. Hitting against public school, it's just we don't want to get up that early and take them.
That's right. Day off, hey. No
that's
problem.
Right. I tell people, if I ever catch me talking to myself, I'm not crazy. I'm just having a parent-teacher conference.
Man, speaking of conference, you probably got something else to do here, probably. And I appreciate it very much to finally talk to me.
Hey, anytime. Let's talk. Hey, whenever you want to talk, you give me just let me know or let Todd know. And I'd love to talk to you.
Well, we'll have to get your website out, you know, and so other people, other churches will find out and organizations and get you up here north of the border, whatever.
Rock and roll, man. Well, I know I'm going to be there later this year.
Oh, good.
I think back in Holmes again.
Oh.
My career's on fire, ladies and gentlemen. Tell everybody, hey, go to YouTube. Check out those videos, man. They're fun. And hey, when have
people,
fun with it.
When people pick on you about homes, just say, listen, pal, it's a bedroom community for New York City. Okay.
Hey, really? You know, absolutely. I said, call me anytime. I'll let, you know, let me know. I'll give you a ring. All right, well, hopefully I'll see you this year sometime.
I hope.
I will. Thanks. See you later.